Good morning, family. Who's ready to praise and worship God this morning? Come on, get up off your feet. Come up towards the altar. We're going to give God our very best. Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Listen, it is a phenomenal Sunday morning. You guys made the right decision to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right, so my name's Buddy, and I just have a couple announcements for today. First announcement, on my left, your right, we have our Connect Room. If you are a guest or if you brought a guest, come on over. We want to connect with you. We have some of the pastors and leaders over there. We have donuts, apples. Listen, I don't know what apples they buy over there, but those chunks are legit the best apples I've ever ate in my entire life. And if you don't eat them, I will, and they're great. Second announcement, Memorial Day Parade will be Monday, May 30th. I think it's an awesome opportunity to really get out into the community and just love on our community and share Jesus. If you want to sign up and be a part, you can either sign up at the service desk or find Brittany and be a part. I promise you it's going to be awesome. So come out, be a part, have fun. Third announcement is our annual bike blessing will be this Saturday or next Saturday. And if you want to volunteer, you can either contact Jamie Garrett or, once again, you could sign up at the service desk. Pastors, we're all standing right. If you would welcome our senior pastor, Pastor Dr. Michael Spencer.
It's so good to be home. Florida's beautiful, but home is better. Amen? I love it up in the North Country, especially the weather up here. It's really amazing until winter comes. Then we all move to Florida. We're starting a church in Florida, so we're all going there all winter long, starting next year. Is everybody good? Just kidding. How many of you enjoyed the prophet last week? How many were here for at least two nights of the prophet? Amen. Now, I want to remind you, if you received the prophetic word, it's very important that you make sure that, remember, prophets are, their job is to confirm what God has already spoken to you. Now, if you haven't heard what he spoke to you, then you put it in your back pocket, and if it's God, it's going to come to fruition. Amen. Also, another thing is to remind you that prophets many times will prophesy page 8 in your life, and you're only on page 2. So remember, if you're on page 2, you're not going to get to page 8 till you get to page 8. So you got to have some patience, amen? So God will work out prophecy. I remember, in fact, just yesterday, actually 2 days ago, I was, recently, I can't remember what day, I'm cleaning out my house, and I found a prophecy from 1994. Yes. So, sometimes you just hate people, you know what I mean? So, a prophecy from 1994. My problem is I got to find a cassette player to play it. Yeah. Do they still make cassette players? Do they? I got to go get one, I guess. So a cassette player to play it. You got one? So a cassette player, I got to play that thing. But, you know, I remember one part of that prophecy way back in 1994 was that I was going to spend some time in Europe. And was really cool because, like, 8 years later, I was in Europe. And it was 8 years, though. So the prophecy happened in 1994, but it was in 2001, I believe, I went to Europe and spent some time there doing ministry. So many times we get antsy when we want the prophecy to happen right now. Be patient. God's given you something to aim at. In fact, the Bible says in the Timothys, it says this. It says, use the prophecy to wage a good warfare in the spirit. So prophecy is important because what it does is it gives you the aim, the direction that God has for you. But don't get antsy in it. Rest in the miracle. Rest in the vision. Rest in the prophecy, and you'll watch God walk you there. Amen? Is that all right? You don't mind me? I wanted to share that with you before we went too far because I can't preach a sermon on it. I just don't have time. Unless you want me to preach two sermons this morning. Come on now. I love you. I love you. I could do it this morning, let me tell you. You guys, okay, let's move on. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. God, we love you. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you want to be with us. We thank you that you want us to experience you. Jesus, this morning we ask that your love will just saturate us. That God, your healing will saturate us. Your deliverance will saturate us, that in your presence the fullness of joy will rise up within us, and that to God be the glory, great things he has done. Father, we love you. We need you. We declare you. We want to be near you, God. We want to be near you, God. So we will worship you in spirit and in truth. For you said you look for those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. So we lay down everything that's happened this week. We lay down our problems and we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we declare, oh God, we are running after you this morning with all of our heart. And we will worship you, God, unabashed. We'll declare you as good, for you are our Father. And we need you and we love you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
oh, the joy of the Lord.
Someone's having pain in your cranium on the right side. If you follow your ear up about 4 inches, you get pain that goes almost shoots straight down. In the name of Jesus, I curse the cause of it, and I command right now the pain to cease because the cause is gone. I command it to be done in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are ever faithful and that you do not reveal unless you are going to heal. There's also somebody on the bottom of your left rib cage. If you follow your rib cage, you can feel that area. There's been pain in there. God is eliminating that again by eliminating cause. Remember, God is always into the cause, not just into the pain. If you eliminate the cause, you eliminate the pain. So God does a healing and restoration, sometimes rehabilitation, but many times also there's a place that God has in the eternal where literally there are body parts waiting to be traded out or put back in. And God, we just declare in the name of Jesus, Lord, I feel faith this morning. Lord, I speak to those who have body parts that have been held together by metal. Lord, I speak right now in the name of Jesus that the metal will disappear in their body. God, there'll be confirmation even by the screws and the pins warming up. God, they'll feel them warming up in the bone. Lord, when they go back to the doctor next time or they walk through that spot at the airport, nothing goes off. Lord, I just thank you that you even eliminate parts put in. God, you are a miracle worker. There's nothing impossible for you. God, we believe in stepping out on nothing to land on something because you are the God of the supernatural and you are the God of your church. We are your people, and if we ask for a piece of bread, you said you'll not give us a stone. You are so faithful to us, King, and we thank you for loving us, even at times when we're very, very unlovely. You are so faithful. God, it's not that you forget or bypass sin, but you believe who we're called to be. Lord, I pray that even this morning we'll have revelation knowledge, that we will see who you've called us to be, that we, Lord Jesus, will believe in us like you believe in us. God, I bind right now in the name of Jesus depression. I bind right now in the name of Jesus those who have a low self-esteem. God, I declare the God esteem to rise in their spirit, man, that they will see themselves the way you see us, Father, as kings and as priests, as your holy people, separated for such a time as this. God, I thank you that you have us here on this planet for a divine purpose, and we will apprehend because we are unwilling to waste our lives. So we focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your seats, please don't sit down. I know what people do. They just sit down on their fannies. And I want to remind you, let's go find somebody. Say hi to somebody that you don't know today. Be kind. Be happy. Come on now, meet somebody you've never met before.
Welcome, Livestream family. My name is Deidre. I serve here on the Upper Youth and Conference team, and I just wanted to welcome you this morning. I can see your comments right here, so just let me know where you're watching from, whether it's your couch, whether you're at work, where are you watching from? Let me know in the comments. I just want to welcome you guys. Thank you for joining us. We would love to see you in the house. I do have some announcements here for you. So May 30th, we will be in the Memorial Day Parade. And you guys can sign up. You guys can get in contact with us. There should be links on our social media, or you can talk to Brittany Gilbert. Second announcement, the annual bike blessing is next Saturday. That's always fun. So we would love to see you. And you also have an opportunity to serve. So it's next Saturday, so you can get in contact with us or message us. Hello. Hi, Miss Carla. You're watching online. Thank you guys so much for watching online. We love you guys. We would love to see you in the house. Listen, the word this morning was amazing. So make sure you guys tune in. Make sure you guys are listening. Take notes. If you take notes, you'll never forget. So make sure you're taking notes. You're listening because it was a powerful message. Even send this live to someone who needs a word this morning. Send this live to a friend, to a family member. We would love to see you. Listen. Service is beginning. It's about to start. so I won't take too much of your time. Good morning, Janet. Let me know where you're watching from in the comments. Love you, Miss Carla. It's a great day to be in the house of God. It's a great day to be on live stream and listening to this. Listen, you made a right choice. We're going to get ready to start service. We would love to see you in the house of God. So I'm going to send it over to tithes and offering. Thank you so much for watching. We hope you enjoy the service. Oh, just kidding, guys. We got some time. Let me know where you're watching from. We have 18 viewers. Only two people let me know. So let me know where you're watching from. All right, service is beginning to start, so we will send it over to tithe and offering.
Awesome. Hey, good morning. Thank you guys so much for being here. Anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Well, hey, we've been declaring and believing that we're going to see God just do special things from now until the Pentecost Sunday, which is June 5th. And it's great because we heard a testimony last week, and I've been hearing more and more and more about what God's been doing, and it makes me so excited. But we had another testimony that we have to share with you, because this is so cool what God's doing. So will you guys put your hands together real quick for Melissa as she shares what the Lord has been doing on her behalf?
Hi. How's everybody doing? Excellent. So, you know, I just want to preface by saying that I'm a tither. I've been a tither for a lot of years. I'm a seeder, and I'm also a giver. When God tells me to give, not to get back, but when God says do this, I'm obedient with that. So the past couple of years, God's been working on me to become debt-free, and because the Word says that we are a slave to the lender, and that we are to be, we're to be the lender, not the borrower. So there's a body of Christ. We are supposed to be the ones that have the finances to move things forward in the kingdom. So in saying that, a couple years ago, I don't know if anybody remembers, but there was a real dip in the interest rate on mortgages. And at that time, God moved me to refinance my mortgage from a 30-year loan to a 15-year loan. And in doing so, with the interest rate so low, I shaved off about 17 years of payments, and my payments were the same as they were prior to the refinance. So that has continued to move me towards being debt-free. I've paid my car off, which has been a blessing. But one of the things that stuck with me is my student loan debt. And I have been believing for supernatural debt cancellation, but God brought to my memory that I would repeatedly say over the years, oh, I'm just going to have that debt till I die. I'll just be paying my student loans till I die. And I've received and accepted that as my fate. And God corrected me in that, and you know, I understand the power of words. And in doing so, I had to repent from all those times that I had spoken that and come into agreement with that, and I had to speak in faith supernatural debt cancellation. So for me, God gives me a visual of debt as like a chain around my wrist that is holding me down. So in saying that, I've been part of this program for student loans where if you pay 120 payments and you work at a certain job, they forgive the rest. Well, I wasn't even halfway through that program, and a new thing opened up where they would look back in your old history of payments and work. So I submitted the paperwork, and 2 weeks ago, I had $43,600 and some change of student loan debt federally, and the next day I logged in and my balance was $0. Yes. All the glory goes to God. So I didn't do this first service, but I just feel compelled to stand in agreement with everybody in here. You know, I literally saw in the spirit realm when that was gone, I saw that chain come off my wrist as another step closer to what God's called me to do with my finances. So I'm going to stand in agreement with everybody in this room for supernatural debt cancellation in the name of Jesus. That is the call in our lives. And as we stand together, believe it, and we need to speak it out of our mouths. So stop speaking death over your finances. Tithe, seed, be a giver, and watch God move in your finances.
That's so awesome. Look, you know what I love about it? is that it's somebody you know. It's not just another person that you saw on TV. It's somebody that you know. But if we look at what the key is, it was consistency and faith. And we talked about a couple weeks ago, I think there's five spots you can be in God's economics. One, you cannot be in it at all. Two, sometimes you can be in, sometimes you can be out. Sometimes, oh, I didn't make enough to give. Sometimes it's, oh, I got more than enough to give. Other people, you're a tither, and that's great. That's the starting point to make sure that we trust God in the test that he's given us. Some people, you tithe and you sow, but I think there's something missing even in that equation, because a lot of people tithe and sow, but they have no faith towards what they're believing God to do. And I would say one of the greatest levels you can have in God's economics is you tithe, you sow, and you stand in faith. You know, the difference with Melissa is she didn't just give, but she gave and she stood in faith that God was going to do something different on her behalf, that God was going to move on her behalf. And even during worship, I just felt that some people are scared to start giving, that it's a fear that you're not going to have enough. And if you think about fear, I really believe that anything we're scared of doing is something that we should run at and we should challenge. Fear is really like the enemy's or the devil's no trespassing sign. And if he can get you to believe, like, why do you put up a no trespassing sign? Because there's something behind it that's valuable. And I believe the devil would love to put up no trespassing behind the valuable promises of God and try to get you to run the other way and turn around because it's not for you, but that's not the truth. Scripture says it in Luke chapter 6. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will also be measured to you. And it's great because, man, the world will try to crucify Christianity of, oh, they just want your money. Oh, they just want this. They just want to get more from you. But it's crazy because they'll talk about the law of attraction and the law of manifestation. And it's like, bro, you believe that giving to the earth is going to give to you. But I believe that giving to the Lord and the Lord's going to give it back to me. It's not about trying to get more from you. It's trying to get you in a position that the Lord can do more for you. And that's the difference. Some people believe the earth is going to give it to them. I believe that the creator of the earth is going to give it to me. Why? Because I took steps of faith. Because you took steps of faith, not of fear, not to turn around and run, but to run at whatever God has said. Because here's the truth. He's not a man that he can lie. And he's going to come through every single time. And I'm believing that we're going to hear more and more ridiculous, radical testimonies of what God is doing on our behalf because we tithe, we sow, and we stand in faith about what God's going to do in our lives. Amen? Amen? Look, a tithe is simple if you've never heard of it. It's 10% of whatever the income was the last week, last month, last paycheck, whenever the period of pay is. It's simple. And I want to encourage you to start by at least being a tither and seeing what God will do in your life. That if you're scared of it, to run at it and see God be faithful no matter what. And the next level is sowing above your tithe. I want to encourage you to sow towards something in faith that God's going to do it on your behalf. And we'll see radical, ridiculous breakthrough, like $43,600 forgiven by the government. They don't lose. They don't give away something. They don't do that. But God. Amen? 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 Can you stand to your feet? We're going to receive the tithe and offering this morning. We have our supernatural declaration, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We declare this over ourselves as we bring our offering to the Lord. Why? Because if we say it and we believe it, it can be for us. Amen? So it goes like this. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. Now say it like you believe it. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Go ahead and bring your offerings to the Lord. If you're scared, this is the exact thing to do. If you're watching online, thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Spencer is going to be bringing the message in just a minute, but I want to encourage you, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, you can do so right now, histabernacle.com/give, and be a partner with what God is doing in your life and in this ministry as we go to know God and to make Him known. We love you. Stick around for just another minute.
That's a very pretty hanky this morning. Do we know where the pretty hanky came from? My desk? Do we know how many people have wiped their face on the pretty hanky? No. So we're going to use a pretty hanky today. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We're so glad that you're here. Man, I tell you, I've got a testimony as well. Many of you know we've been raising funds for the Rhonda Jean House, and that is the legacy of my wife who went on to be with the Lord in January, and we're going to be purchasing a home down in Florida for pastors' wives to go to, and her new book will be released in the next, I want to say at least the next month. Your job's all done. Now it's my job to get my part done so you can get more of your job done so we can actually get the book already. So it's all my fault, but all the money that's going to be brought in from the new book that she wrote and finished the book last fall. Never published it. She just looked at me. She said, I don't feel led of God to publish this yet. I don't know why. Now we know why. Okay, we're going to use all that money that comes in through that book to pay for pastors' wives' airplane tickets so they can get to the house for free. So there'll be very or no cost for all the pastors' wives to be refreshed and renewed. This week alone, about $2,500 came in for the Rhonda Jean House. Between $2,500 and $5,000 have been coming in almost every single week. And we need right around $80,000 more. And we've raised already in 4 months $170,000. Isn't that amazing? So if you want to write a check, million is M-I-L-L-I-O-N. You can always use more. I'm excited because there's nothing more exciting to me than watching people change. You know, I was an evangelist. Many people don't know this, but I was an evangelist for years, and I was a successful evangelist, which means that after a while, you get so many invitations, you get to choose where you want to go, and you don't have to drive there anymore. They fly you there, and you make really good wages. I think it was 4 years ago when we started the church. We started the church in 1998. I didn't make what I made in 1998 until 3 years ago, and because evangelism is a blessing. And so as an evangelist, one of the things that I love doing is we did miracle services. We went around. I've seen every kind of miracle you can imagine. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen people who have nothing in their ear but a metal plate in Winchester, Massachusetts. God created an ear, and literally they could hear. I've seen every kind of cancer disappear. I've watched people with multiple sclerosis get up and run around the sanctuary. I've watched, seriously, there's not much I haven't seen in the miraculous. But one of the things that I missed deeply and desperately was I missed watching people grow up in Christ. As an evangelist, you swoop into town, bing, bang, boom, you're out in 3 to 5 days, and then you might get asked back next year, or you might have to wait 2 years. So when God spoke to me to start a church, I wasn't excited about it because I enjoyed the road. But what I missed most and why I so love pastoring and ministering to people like yourselves is that I love watching people go from not being saved or not being secure, not knowing who they are, to maturating and then becoming giants in the faith. I love watching you grow up in Christ. It is the greatest thing as a spiritual parent, watching your children grow up and make a difference. Amen? Can you imagine if my children, I love my kids, I have 3 children, Cody, Chad, and Corinne. Can you imagine as a parent if they, still live with me after 45 years. That just wouldn't go over good with me. I'd kick them out, or I'd charge them so much rent they would have to move out. Glory to God. For those who have a child living in your house at that age, charge them enough, they will leave. Say amen. And so, if my kids, if I still had to hand feed them, if I still had to go out and, make some applesauce for them and say, okay, Cody, I love you. Oh, baby, I know you're thirsty. Hold on. Now, that's funny until somebody actually does it. Or all of a sudden, now listen, I don't mean to offend anybody, but all of a sudden a 6-year-old walks up to mommy and says, I'm thirsty. And you know he ain't talking about a drink. Is it time to grow up? Yeah, some of you are finally getting that one. Took a while, but you got there. It's time to grow up in Christ. And the issue with the body is that many people in church never grow up in Christ. They get saved, but I want to remind you that getting saved is the beginning, not the ending. Are you out there this morning? I said it's the beginning and not the ending. It is not I've reached it, now I'm going to heaven. This is not a get out of free hell card. Salvation is where we are developing our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that God, he wants us to grow up because he wants to keep us safe. You see, there is a reality that God knows that his body needs to be safe. So God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us his word and gave us simple instructions on how to make sure we're going to grow up and how to make sure that we're going to be safe and not fall away from him. I cannot count the amount of people that have literally walked to the altar, that have given their hearts to Jesus. I'm talking a genuine God experience. I'm not talking join a religion. I'm not talking joining a church. But they've had a genuine God supernatural experience with heaven, and yet after a period of time, they walk away. I cannot count hands and feet, toes, nose, ears. I can't count all my body parts. Listen, so many people have done this, and the sad part about this is that the enemy of our soul is desperately striving to get you to walk away from Jesus. Definitely striving to get you to not be as excited about God as you were, to backslide, as the scripture calls it, to be a person that no longer is on fire for Jesus, to be a person that literally is relying upon yesterday's confession of faith to hold today's walk of faith. And the Lord wants to make sure that we're aligned. Remember, this year is about what? We are built different. And how we're built different is that our house doesn't have to fall down. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 6 that we don't have to again come to the place of repentance. You shouldn't have to get saved and sin and then come back to repentance, save, get sin. This is not about you and I rotating through problems and life. This is about you and I becoming strong in Christ, becoming that house that when the wind blows and the waves come, it is not being blown over because we're built on the rock, Christ Jesus. We're not built on the sand that the house will crumble with. Remember, the houses look the same on the outside, but the difference was the foundation that it was built upon. And Christ wants us to make sure that in these last days, and it does not take a rocket science to figure out that we're in the last days. The next prophecy to be fulfilled is that Jesus Christ will crack the eastern sky, the rapture of the church, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive remain shall be caught up together in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the next prophecy. So the enemy's working overtime, and we know this again prophetically. Because the scripture was clear that as the last day approaches, the love of many will wax cold. That as the last days approach, the great apostasy will happen. Now, I want to remind you that the apostasy isn't that people leave the church. They leave Christ but stay in the church. And in the last days, apostasy is going to be something that is going to be very powerful. What is an apostasy? Those are saying, I don't even know what apostasy means. It simply means this. It means a falling away, an abandonment of true faith. You see, there are a lot of people that loved God, but now tolerate God because they don't want to go to hell. Or they try to placate God, pacify God, throw God a bone so that they don't have to go to hell. Now, I want to remind you that hell is not the final holding tank. A lot of people don't realize that, but hell is just a holding tank. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, that hell will give up its dead and that they'll stand before the white throne judgment and their names will not be written in the Lamb's book of life and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is actually the final holding point for all those who have chosen not to receive the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they'll be separated from God for all of eternity. The lake of fire was not created for mankind. God created us in his image, Genesis 1:26. But what hell was created for and the lake of fire created for was for Satan and his angels. So the challenge is God wants to keep you away from the devil. God wants you blessed and not cursed. God wants you accelerating and not decelerating. God wants you over and abundant, not barely making it by. But God can't do that if we don't set up the right processes to make sure that we aren't going to backslide, but we're going to move forward, that our house is going to be built on the rock and not just on religion. So this great falling away has been prophesied that in the last days it's going to get even more. Now we can prove that in American churches today. The average Christian only goes to church 1 out of every 3 weeks. Let me ask you a question. If you decided not to go to work for 3 weeks and then you showed up, what do you think's going to happen? Oh, where have you been? Well, you know, I've been camping. But you had work. Yeah, but you know, I just felt it was good, you know, mental health. Well, you got mental health, but baby, you got no job health. You're fired. Come on now. I challenge you to skip 3 days of work. Yeah. Now, don't you do that because you get fired. I know your boss. That's me. We one time had a staff member who didn't show up on a Sunday. He was a worship leader, one of our worship leaders. Didn't show up on a Sunday morning. We didn't know where he was. So I'm asking everybody, where is this dude? And nobody knew where he was. And then finally somebody showed me Facebook. He was doing a Facebook Live preaching out of a church in New Jersey. I say, he preaching in New Jersey? I'm paying him to preach here. He's supposed to be doing a job. He came in on Monday morning. We walked him to his office and said, see ya. Have him pack up his office and I fired him. Boy, was he mad. Why would you be mad? You don't show up to work. You expect not to get fired? Because your boss is expecting something from you. But yet when we talk about God, the creator of the universe, and we start talking about what God requires, we get mad at God because we think he's asking too much. He paid the highest price. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He's got the highest benefit package. Can I hear an amen? Amen? He's got eternity set up. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Yet the body of Christ, man, we're not sold out to God. We're sold out to everything but God. Say amen or oh my. And it's a time to make an adjustment because in these last days, the apostate or the great falling away is going to occur. Now, we're seeing this in many churches. And in the churches we're seeing that in is they're called seeker-sensitive churches where the pastor stands up and it's a one-hour service. Make sure you're in and out by an hour because we don't want to inconvenience you. And then in that hour, we're going to do a 15-minute worship service. And, you know, we don't want to get you too emotional. And then the preacher's going to grab the newspaper and preach a nice little missalette. And then all of a sudden, we're going to let you all go bye-bye and everybody have a great day. We'll meet you down at the bar. We got a bunch of preachers now that are sitting back sucking suds in the green room and smoking a cigar. I'm telling you, the apostate church is upon us. And it's time for the body of Christ to wake up, because the devil is after your soul. And it's time for the church to arise and start being who Christ has called us to be. It's no longer time to play Christianity. It's time to stand up and be the believers, the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if you can be faithful to a job, you can be faithful to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Say amen or oh my. Boy, that's cool. Squirrel. Here's some great verses for you. Ready? 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, turn to someone and say, the last times. Here it is. The Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their conscience is dead. Ooh, Lord, Lord, you think I preach hard. Paul was rough. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 4, it says this. For the time will come when people, here we go. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great numbers of teachers to say that their itching ears, what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You see, this great apostasy is very real, and God so loves you that he does not want you to become part of the apostasy. I want to remind you that in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3 with the church of Laodicea, he makes a very clear statement. He said, I have somewhat against you. You are neither hot nor cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. Now, I want you to recognize, some people say, well, once saved, always saved. The only way to get to once saved, always saved is to abandon your free will. Because the only way to get to once saved, always saved is to believe that God has a list and you're either on the list or off the list. If you're on the list, you've got to be saved. If you're off the list, you can't be saved. That's called Calvinism. And I want you to know that God's not a Calvinist. That God was very clear that if you're not going to serve him with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your soul, that there's a problem, and that we've got to get back to loving God. God wants to protect you, and even the guidelines that God gives is always to protect us from ourselves. How, come on now. We all know that greatest enemy to our soul is not the devil. The greatest enemy to our soul is ourselves. Say amen or oh my. And so as believers, even 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it from us, as though the day of the Lord has come. Here it is, the verse right now, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, talking about the Antichrist, the son of perdition. You see, the Lord wants to protect us from ourselves, wants to protect us from an eternity separated from him, and he wants to make sure that we are secure. He wants to make sure that we are maturating. He wants to make sure that we are growing. He wants to make sure that we are sure-footed. He wants to make sure that we have a firm foundation, and there's only one foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, there's only one foundation that can be laid, that which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the rock. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, but by me. We've got to get back to Jesus. We've got to get back to loving him. We've got to get back to prioritizing him. We've got to get back to making him number one in our lives. Because if he's not, let me tell you something. You know what it says here is that the deception will fool even the elect. So the way Christ put this together was brilliant. Turn to someone and say, Jesus is brilliant. You see, a lot of folks believe salvation is a religious experience. And if salvation is a religious experience, then you've already fallen away. Salvation is a supernatural transformation from the inside out. It is a supernatural act of God where your spirit man is dead. You call upon the name of the Lord. The blood of Jesus comes in, washes your sins away. And now there is a supernatural transformation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I am a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus. But salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning. And a lot of people just don't want to go to hell. And I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to go to hell either. I make every opportunity not to go to hell. Somebody said to me, well, you know, I can't say what I was going to say. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to be better. She's not here to yell at me. So I got you and Pastor Andrea. I get in trouble a lot. I just want you to know that. I try to behave. I think we almost forget, because we live in America, how much the devil hates us. You know, in America, the demons are smart because we watch so many movies, you know, with head spinning and people demon possessed. And, you know, what was that show that used to be on the network? It was a satanic show where the witches were Charmed. We used to do advertising on Charmed with His Tabernacle on purpose. What station would you like to be on? I'd want to be on that station. What show? Charmed. Run 5 commercials on Charmed, please. We forget that the devils are real. You know, in other countries, it's not like America. In third world countries, it's normal for the demons to manifest themselves. You know, I've seen such amazing demonic manifestations. One time I was down in Tennessee, and I literally watched a woman's face morph into that of a dog style. As I was praying for her, literally her face morphed into a dog. And then as I cast that spirit out of her, her face went back to normal. My family was in, my ma's here. She was in the service in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, when a 4'11" woman dropped to the ground and started slithering up an aisle with no hands and no feet, like a snake, after she screamed and the hair stood up on the back of your head. And 4 men that ran over to hold her down were thrown around like little rag dolls. You know, we forget that demons are real and that the devils have a job. I've seen so much demonic activity, it amazes me on how as Americans we really have been so desensitized. And we're raising up a whole generation now of children that don't mind demons if you get to watch any cartoons lately. Demons are more real than God is real. We've got to make transition in the church world, because moms and dads, you got to make sure you watch what your kids are watching. You know, even in my house, when my kids grew up, which is a long time ago, you know, I remember we would let them watch Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? All the old people sang with me, hallelujah. But we would not let them watch Scrappy-Doo. Well, why? Well, because Scooby-Doo, all of the ghosts and goblins were all humans acting, and they got caught. Well, Scrappy-Doo, they let the demons be demons. And I said, no. Look at that progression. Look at that progression. They ain't playing with that, because I've seen the real demons. So once you see real demons, you can't play with devils anymore. And what happens is the church, we just seem to forget, because we're not in a country where all of a sudden you're walking down the road and a demon-possessed person manifests because you're born again and they are not. You know, down in Mexico, it's not strange. They serve a serpent god. It's not strange to have, when you walk by somebody demon-possessed, they start hissing at you. The devil inside of them recognizes the Holy Ghost in you. And they are of 2 different opinions. Can I hear an amen? And they know that they are subject to you in the name of Jesus. Demons are real. And devils are after your life. They're after to get you away from Jesus. They're actually working. And I can prove this to you. I'm going to give you the scripture. We know that the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 13, the different types of ground and how seed, life is in the seed, and how the devils want to make sure that the seed of God, the seed of the word, does not stay in your life. Why? Because the word will always produce. The Bible says that his word cannot return void, that if you cast your bread upon the water, it shall return, that the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That Jesus said, who is the word that became flesh among us? And Jesus said, the words that I speak are pneuma, and they are zoe. They are spirit, and they are life. That the words, even as I'm speaking right now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You might say, I don't have faith to be saved, but by the end of this sermon, you'll have enough faith to be saved. How do I know that? Because I'm preaching the word of faith, and faith will rise in your spirit, man, and you'll have enough to be born again. But the devil hates faith. The devil hates the word. He'll skew the word, twist the word, contort the word, as he did with Jesus when he tempted him. And in the 40 days in Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, where he tempted Jesus in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But Christ Jesus overcame it all because he recognized that the word that he was using, Satan, was twisted and contorted, a deceptive word. And then Christ stood firm in the word, because he was the word. That kind of helps, you know what I mean? He stood firm in the word and said, oh, no, I don't think so. So this is what it really says. See, you got to know the word, and the devil's after the word that's in your life. We know that the first kind of ground is that of dead, dry ground, where the Bible says that you receive the word, and some of you are going to receive the word, whether it be on live stream, whether it be on television, whether it be in the room. You're going to receive the word today, and you're not going to believe it, or you're not going to understand it. And the Bible says that the devil, the enemy, comes and will steal that word so that it does not take any root. And therefore, you will not have faith or trust in God to grow in your relationship with Jesus. The next type of ground is called stony ground. And that is a ground that is hard-packed, and the word is going to land there today. And the Bible says that they receive it with joy. But because there was no root in the seed, it literally dried up and died. The next type of ground is called thorn and thistly ground, where the seed lands in good ground and it starts to grow. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world can be a ton of things. Your kid's going to sports on Sunday morning. Staying in bed. Feeding your flesh instead of feeding your spirit. Lazy. Oh, my God! Well, the Bible says what happens is the thorns and the thistles, the cares of this world, literally choke out that seed, and it dies. So I want you to see the first three types of ground, the devil's working desperately to make sure that you do not, yes, you might hear the word, but that you will not grow up in the word. Because if you do not grow up in the word, then you will not go to eternity to be with Christ. But there's another ground. It's called good ground. And in this ground, you produce 30, 60, 100 fold. What's powerful about the principle of the sowing and the reaping is that the ground is good, but the determination of the different percentage of growth does not depend on the ground. It depends on the curators. See, some of you will be saved and you'll get to heaven by the hair of your chinny chin chin. 30%, baby. But some of you are going to determine that my greatest passion is knowing God. I love what Paul said. I count all things dung just to know Christ. I count all things waste just to know him, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering and in his resurrection, that I may know Christ. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, for those who don't know where that is. God has a passion, and his passion is for you to know him, to walk with him. And that is a good father, that he protects you and keeps you so that you don't have to start the race only, but that you'll finish the race. God don't need shooting stars. He needs sons, and he needs daughters. Say amen. He wants you all the way, not just to start the way. And as a believer, God has a plan to do this. This is a plan that is uncomfortable for people in America because it means effort. You know, maybe I should just see where I'm at. Okay. I memorized the sermon. But the reason I keep notes, somebody said to me, why do you keep notes? Because I can preach 2 hours. It's not hard for me to preach 2 hours. Ah, my Lord, I love you. Jesus. If I had my wallet, I'd have thrown 100. Meet me in the office. Amen. I'll take that back. You give me the... He's no fool. And he knows if he comes to the office, he'll get it. One day, I decided I wanted to plant some deer stuff. So, I went out and bought all the seed. And I was shocked how much seed was. Man, that's expensive for, like, clover. Clover. So I said, okay. So I bought all the seed. I spent a few hundred bucks on seed. And I was all ready to go till up the ground. And then I'm talking to somebody, and he says, my buddy said, you know, you got to go get the soil tested. I said, what? I said, what do you mean soil tested? He says, you got to go take a sample of the soil. Okay, then what? Well, you got to send it to this company. I said, what? Yeah, you got to send it to the company. I said, okay, then what? Well, you got to pay them. I ain't paying nobody to sample any soil. It ain't going to happen. I'm not giving anybody money to play with dirt. But you know what I determined by doing that? Because they tell you how much lime to put in, how much fertilizer to put in to get the greatest response from the seed that you can get. I made a decision that I was okay with 30%. Many of us are okay with 30%. Oh, come on now. You're okay with just making it by the hair of your chinny chin chin. Girl or boy, I've seen hair on both sides, you know what I mean? Hey, Matt, how are you? Where do we go from here? Oh, yeah, okay. God's plan. Turn to someone and say, God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Oh, that's my grandbaby. Bampy loves you. Yeah, that's the way we want him, right there. God's got a plan. Turn to someone and say, God's got a plan. Turn to someone and say, I don't always like God's plans. The reason people don't like God's plans is because it's going to take energy. It's going to take work. It's gonna take faith. It's going to take you putting God first. Oh, what? God first. Means you got to get your soil tested. Means it's going to cost you something. It's called discipleship. What's discipleship? It means being a pupil. Being a student. Being disciplined. We love discipline in children. You do what mommy and daddy say. But when God says, excuse me, I told you no. Who are you to tell me? I can do anything I want. Then I'll ask for forgiveness. Ooh, isn't that how it works? Come on now. Are you going to be honest? You're going to be honest. Isn't that how it works? You know, God, you got to forgive me, so I'm going to do this thing. Come on, isn't that how it works? Man, we all messed up, aren't we? We sure need Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Because we are screwed up. Thank God for the blood of Christ. That he does love us enough to look at past our foolishness and say, I'd love them even though they're dumb. Amen. Yeah, it is a new suit. You like it? See, all my other ones, they hung off me. I lost too much weight. Have to gain 2 pounds today. So I'm eating some donuts after service. Hallelujah. I don't want to get below 190. Discipleship. It's the plan of God. The problem in church is most churches don't have discipleship. Most people, when you get saved, that's about as far as it goes. You might join a Sunday school. And then, again, the average church attendance is one every 3 weeks. So most people aren't growing in Christ. They just got that ticket out of hell. But that's never been the plan of Christ. Because Christ knows that if you're not growing, if you're not going to be a pupil, if you're not going to be a student, then you are going to be an individual that will never grow. And if you do not grow, then there's going to be a serious problem with strife and problems come into your life because you have nothing to fall back on because you got nothing to fall back on. The majority of believers don't know what to fall back on. Now, I'll be honest with you. This has been, my life for the last 3 years has not been overwhelmingly enjoyable. The joy of the Lord has been my strength, but happiness has not always been part of it. And if my faith was not established, my faith was not strong, I'll be honest, most pastors who've gone through what I've gone in the last 3 years have quit the ministry. The reason I have not quit the ministry is because I made sure and still do that I'm a pupil of God, that I'm a student of the Word, that I know God, walk with God, live with God, breathe God. In Him I live and move and have my being. And that is what has sustained me through the trials and the tribulations that are very valid and very real. It's not because I have a good persona. So many believers have walked away from Jesus because they've stopped being pupils of God. Or they've never been a pupil of God. Do you know this has been the plan? Look at Jesus. You know, Jesus taught us this stuff, right? And this is what I love about God. He didn't say, hey, good luck. He said, this is how I want you to do it. Follow me. What did Jesus do? He chose 12. Now, I remind you that there were far more than 12. We know there were at least 70 others. The 12 were the closest, and then you had your 70, and then we know that 500 people saw him face to face in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know that it went back down to 120 in the book of Acts chapter 2 when they assembled together in the upper room when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost with fire. We then know there were 3,000 that were saved in Acts chapter 2, another 5,000 saved in Acts chapter 4. We then know, we just could keep going and going and going and going. But Christ had the same mentality, and what he started with was, you guys are doing really, oh, that's because it's you. You are the best camera lady. She is. Because I truck, baby. My record is 170 times. It's my weight loss program for the week. Jesus taught the disciples. What he did was, for 3 years, he spent 3 years day in and day out with these men called disciples. And I want to remind you that they would never have become an apostle if they were not true disciples. So many of us will always live within the 30% disciple, but never become the 100% apostle. We'll never be who God has called us to be, do what God has called us to do, because we refuse to put in the work in the soil. So Jesus spent 3 years with them. Man, look at Peter. Peter, man, he came, he was a professional fisherman. History says that he had at least 3 good-sized boats and that this was a business that was strong enough that when he left and followed Jesus, the business kept going. He was a businessman. If you follow all of the 12 disciples, they were all businessmen. Everyone wants you to think that they were all poor. That's not true. In fact, they want you to think Jesus was poor, and that's not true either. You ever seen a poor person have a treasurer? You ever seen a poor person wear Armani clothes? Oh, by the way, Jesus wore a seamless garment, which was the Armani of those days. That's why they didn't tear it up when he was hung on the cross, but they cast lots for it. Yeah, religion, it messes people up, don't it? It's when you become a good student, you start realizing the word of truth. So here we have Jesus spent all that time developing them, maturing them. And man, guess what happened? They were able to grow. Now Peter, he had problems. Peter was arrogant. Peter was mouthy. He was always in everybody's face, always going after folks. One minute Jesus said, ha, who do men say that I am? And Peter, you know, stood back and goes, my God, thou art the Christ. You got to know he did the Christ thing. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A chapter later, he looks and he goes, Peter, get behind me. And he says, you're full of the devil. Get behind me. What? You just accolades and now he rebuked. That's Peter. Isn't that us? But Peter didn't leave the discipleship program because he got rebuked. Peter didn't walk away because he got corrected. He stayed close and he stayed tight because what happened was Peter was called to be the rock. But if Peter had gotten out of discipleship, he could have only been a pebble. I mean, there are a lot of people that are pebbles that should be rocks. And the only difference is they choose not to be, come on now, they choose not to be true disciples. They just don't want to go to hell. Well, listen now, if God's plan was just so that you got saved so you wouldn't go to hell, then you drop dead the moment you got saved. But if you're alive, that means you've got purpose on this planet, that God has a plan for you and a certain people that only you can reach for him. Peter stayed in discipleship. Peter stayed being disciplined, and Jesus did it well. Peter stayed being a pupil, and because he stayed, God used him to preach the first message, and that day up to 15,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. It was the launching of the church. But watch now. Peter had a lot of problems. People disqualify yourself far more than God ever disqualified you. Peter not only caused schism within the 12 disciples. Let's be real what he did now. Hey, we want to sit next to you, you know. We're better than all these other guys. Jesus rebuked him. How about Peter denies Jesus 3 times? First cuts the dude's ear off. Jesus pasted it back on supernaturally. I don't know. I think that would have done something good for me. Bam! Do you see that ear go back on? I stayed close. But all of a sudden, he walks away from Jesus and goes back to this boat. He went back fishing, man. He walked away. We forget that that man had issues. But God didn't disqualify him. And thank God he didn't disqualify him. He stayed in the discipleship program. How about Paul? Paul, his name was Saul. He was persecuting Christians. And Acts chapter 9, he's on his way to Damascus to go scramble up some more Christians, bring them back, throw them in jail, and beat them up. And on his way, he met Jesus. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And man, when he got born again, spirit-filled, what happened was this. The Bible says that God then sent him to the desert of Arabia for 3 years, and Jesus personally taught him. You can find that in the book of Galatians. Jesus personally taught him for 3 years, just him and Jesus in the desert of Arabia before he came back to Jerusalem. He stayed in the discipleship program even though he was brilliant. See, as Christians, especially in this house, you have opportunity for discipleship. Every Monday night they have, what do they call that thing? What's that class? Healing Journey. Some of you need the journey and some healing. Healing Journey on Monday nights. Tuesday night, night off. Glory to God. Wednesday night, men's ministry. Matthew 25, kids getting saved. 7 kids gave their heart to Jesus this last Wednesday night. Glory to God. Thursday night, everything you can imagine, rock solid faith. We have Bible study. We have women's Bible study. Wednesday night, men's Bible study. We have rock solid faith Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. We have groups that are meeting all the time. We have 40 some odd groups in this church. There's something going on. And everybody sits back and says, well, you know, I got saved. Well, maybe if you don't start building on what you got, you could become part of the apostasy. And some people not even know it. That's the deception of the devil. That church, that Laodicean church I talked to you about, verse 20, Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in with him and sup with him and he with me. Do you know who he's talking to? His church. What door was he knocking on? The Laodicean church. His own church. He's locked out of his own church. Jesus, the head of the church. He's not even allowed in his church. Is Jesus allowed in you? Or is it just good enough to get out of hell free? You see, we got to make decisions what kind of yielding we want from our crop and how protected we want to be. I don't know. I'm just the kind of person. Maybe I'm just different. You know, I've been told I'm different. Maybe I'm just different, but I can't do anything half-cocked. I'm not just starting something without finishing something. If I can't win, I'm not playing. Except Scrabble when Rhonda wanted to play Scrabble just because I was placating, being nice, because I lost all the time. Other than that, I'm not playing anything with you. Pastor, you want to play softball? No, I'm too fat to play softball. I'll be winded before I get to first base. Plus, when we first started playing softball, you don't mind if I wrap it a little bit. First play, when we first had our softball league, I slid into home base and tore my gluteus maximus. Man, that thing hurts when you don't stretch. We all have excuses, and I want you to know this right off the bat. The moment you start using excuses, you will always have an excuse to use. And so here we are as Christians, and God is asking us, I think sometimes we just forget what this really is all about. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You can gain everything on this planet, baby, and have nothing at the end. I have buried thousands of people. I have buried thousands of people. Buried my wife. You know what she took with her? You. She took you with her. She took you with her. Some of you are saved because of her ministry. Some of you are saved and remain saved because she invested in your spirit. She took you to heaven with her. That's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. You can gain all the mass of the world. And baby, I got some nice stuff. I'm going to live in a really nice house starting next week. Ah, my God. You can have all the nice things you want. It means nothing. Because at your last breath, you can only take somebody else with you to heaven. But you can take a lot of people with you to hell. We forget how temporary this world is. And we've got to get back to why we're here. Remember, we're built different. And the reason we're built different is because we're supposed to be different and make a difference. But you can't make a difference if you're not taking care of business. And if you're not a student, then what are you? If you're not a disciple of Christ, what are you? Well, that's a good question. What do you think? You're not going to think nothing? Yeah, you're dormant. What happens to dormant? Nothing. It gets old. Leave a car. I'm just talking to Jeremy. Bought a car to sell. He had to sink how much money in it? $6,000? $6,500 because it sat for 2 years. Some of you are so rusty, so callous. Come on now, WD-40 ain't even going to work in here. You need some Earl of the Holy Ghost. I'm concerned. You don't mind me saying? As your pastor, I want to make sure, and it's my job to make sure, that we're all moving forward, not sitting back. Well, pastor, I've taken rock solid faith 3 times. Really? I've been teaching it for 25. And by the way, I wrote the book, and I can still teach it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can enlighten something that you never thought was there, and you've looked at it 1,000 times. You've never learned too much. You forget more than you've learned. I got folks in rock solid faith, they're on their 7th time. And they still smile. I don't know if it's because they're sleeping with their eyes open. But they're still smiling. But you cannot not be a pupil. What are you doing besides coming to church on a Sunday morning? Do you crack open your Bible during the week? Are you praying to God? You know, I'm not saying just when you're in trouble. Do you know God and just know about God? Are you in a class? Are you maturating in the word of the Lord? Are you masticating the scripture? Or are you just like, you know, Jesus people? I think. But you make decisions in your own life. Every one of you say, I don't got time to go to rock solid faith. I say, you don't have time not to go to rock solid faith. Well, I don't have time to go to Bible study. I'm too busy. Oh, really? what you're expecting to last for eternity is the least that you're willing to invest in. I'll end with this. Anybody here buy a car lately? Average car payment's over $500 a month. 5 times 12. I need mathematicians. I already know. It's not 16,000, it's 6,000. Oh, I thought you said 16. I'm saying, Jesus, help us all. $6,000 for a car payment for the year. You then, you know at that point in time, you got to get insurance, $1,200. You're at $7,200. Now you got gasoline cost more than your car. Let's just say $50 a week, being conservative, that's $200 a month. That's $2,400 a year, $2,400 a year, 24 plus 72. Too much, thank you, near 10 grand. You then got to get some oil changes. Let's just say being nice, man, let's just say 10-5. You're spending $10,500 a year on something you expect to last maybe 3 to 5 years. But you spend nothing on your relationship with Jesus that you want to last for eternity. You abandon discipleship for temporary ship, which isn't even a word, but I just made it up and it works. So my question is simply this. What then actually are we investing in? Or are we already part of the apostate and we didn't even know it? Revelation chapter 2. The church of Ephesus. I have somewhat against you. I see your good works. I mark your good works. Your good works. You do good things, Ephesus. You're a church. You do good things. But I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Be zealous, therefore. Repent, or I'll remove your candlestick. Which means you don't go to heaven. We can play all the church we want, but in the end, you can lie to yourself, but you can't lie to him. And my passion as your pastor is simply this: nudge, push, kick, punch, drag. I don't care what it takes. I'll do whatever I got to do to not just get you to heaven, but get you to fulfill God's purpose for you on this planet. Why? Because unless you do that, the other people are lost too. It's not just you. It's so powerful. We just so easily forget who we actually are. The ecclesia, the legislative body of heaven on earth. And without us, there is no plan B. Without us, people won't go to heaven. We can't be a church. We've got to be the body of Christ. Some of you are now, used to be, in church at least twice a week. Some of you are now once a weekers. I'm going to come talk to you, by the way. Just so I want you to know that ahead of time. I'm going to say to you, because I'm warning you, I'm going to say, hey, you're a once a weeker. If you were once or twice a week, or now you're a once a week, or you got to ask whether you're backslidden or not. Because when you were twice a week, or you at least had a passion to be in God's house twice a week. Now you don't even have a passion maybe to be in God's house once a week. That's called backslidden. That's a bad spot. Well, don't tell me where I am with Jesus. You shall know them by their fruits. Don't judge me. That's stupid. Stupid. People say it's stupid. Don't you ever say that to me. I love when people in the world say that to me because I play with them. Don't judge me. Stupid. Why? You shall know them by their fruits. Hi, I'm a basketball player. Does it look like I'm a basketball player? Yeah, I could coach. I ain't playing. My question to you is, what do people see when they see you? Are you a disciple of God? Or are you just one of those Christianettes? Got to make choices. Jesus is coming. It could be today. And you're breathing because you got reason. You got to run this race to win, baby. You got to run this race to win. Get your foot out of your fanny. Run. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Finish this race strong. Not just barely by. Jesus only needed 12, really. The other 70 kind of hung out until they got loose. What are you, man? And see, no one can answer that. Your mom and daddy can't answer that. Your husband and wife can't answer that. Your friends can't answer that. The only one who can answer that is you. I have to ask myself that. I have days I don't like life either. It's been a challenging year so far. I have to make a decision, just like you have to make a decision. Just because I got the word pastor under my name don't mean nothing. Your pastor's going to hell all the time. Michael Spencer. Mother spelled my name wrong. We won't say anything about it publicly. Incorrectly. She spelled it wrong on the birth certificate. See, and I have an excuse. I could say to her, all my life's problems are your fault because you spelled my name wrong. I could do that. But I'm not going to do that. You're welcome, Mother. Even though you spelled my name wrong, just move on. Can you be honest with yourself? Where are you with God? If he came back right now, would you be ashamed? Or would you say, hey, hey, I did it. I did it for you. That's your question for you. I can't answer it. Nobody else can answer it but you and Jesus. And as your pastor, I want you to be the best man. Some of you are going to hell. Some of you are going to hell in the room, and I can come on. I can walk up to you and I can point you out. Because you're living in sin. You know you're living wrong. And you know if you died right now, you aren't going to heaven. You're either brave or you're stupid. I'm just going to say you're brave and you need to turn that bravery back to Christ. When we go, this is real. This ain't the church for placating. Probably not the church for some of y'all. Because I'm not playing. Because I got to give an account for you. And he's not going to put it on me. I'm going to tell you the truth. Bow your head to me this morning. If you're watching online, bow your head too, right in your house. If you're driving, don't bow your head. Can you be honest? Ask yourself this simple question. Read out loud, but don't answer out loud. Ask yourself this question. If I died today, would I be proud of what I have to offer Jesus Christ? Am I running this race right? Am I a disciple? Into like condemning folk. I'm not here to beat folk. But the only way to not be condemned is to accept the Savior who forgives. Today is a brand new day. It doesn't matter what you were, it matters what you're going to be. And that's why I love that Jesus sees our Z and not our ABCD. If you find that you're not living right, that you're not a disciple, that you're just trying to get to heaven, and you want to get right with God, all you got to do is say to him, right there where you are, you don't need to even come up front. You just need to say, Jesus, I am making a conscious decision that I am going to serve you all the days of my life with everything I have in my life, and I'm never turning back. If you'll do that, he'll hear you, and he'll help you. That's what I love so much about God. It's not about you jumping hoops. It's that you open doors, and then the Holy Spirit fills the voids. Ah, he's so good. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we love you. And we thank you that you love us. God, you really know us. You know our thoughts. You know our actions when nobody else is around. And God, you know that. You know that some of us have great desire, but just don't usually follow through. I ask, Jesus, that you will start working in our lives. Oh, help us be disciples. Help us stay in discipleship our whole lives. Keep us from being a pebble, God. We want to be a rock. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know Jesus. If you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He's going to walk you through this thing, and man, you're going to cause so much trouble in hell. It's going to be so much fun. I love kicking Satan's butt. If you'd like Jesus, I want you to slide your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4. 3, 2, and 1. If you're watching on live stream and you want to receive Jesus, I want you to do me a favor. Grab your phone, and I want you to dial with me 97000. Did I do that right? 970. There it is. I see it up on the screen. 97000. Type in there, I am saved. Someone's going to get a hold of you. We're going to make sure that you not only start this race, but you finish this race. Amen? Was that all right today? Was it a little bit too strong? All right, let's get ready. Second half. I think the one thing that you definitely know about your pastor is that he genuinely loves you. I didn't say you always like me, but he genuinely loves you. And I'm going to do everything, not just to get you to heaven, but to finish strong. And that might mean a boot in the britches every once in a while. Amen. Anybody here ever need a boot in the britches? Jesus said it this way, the book of Hebrews. Discipline for the moment is grievous and not joyous, but it brings forth the peaceable fruit of God. So Lord, I speak over your church, not my church. I speak over your people, not my people. I declare, God, that you're raising up disciples, and Father, those that have wandered a little, that they have today been brought back on track. Those that, God, have stumbled will get back up. Those, Jesus, who have been miscombobbled will get clear in their minds. You're raising up a body in these last days to bring in this great harvest. And I thank you that we choose to remain pupils. We choose to remain students. We choose to finish this race not with weakness but with strength. God, we will be the greatest soul winners you have ever raised up, especially in these last days. Give us the Holy Ghost boldness, oh God, not just on the day of Pentecost, but today. That we will be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And use us for your glory, that when we stand before you, you will say to us without any reservation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. The prayer team's coming to the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, you need healing, you need deliverance, you need just encouragement, they're here to pray with you. They know how to pray. Call down the power of God. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. I'd love to see you this week, Rock Solid Faith, Thursday night, or in the Bible studies. Have a great day. Serve Jesus.